delighted to say the focus of attention for the next number of minutes will be the big event that's taking place next weekend. That's the Donegal Ultra 555 cycling race. And I'm delighted to say, joining me live in studio now, two key members of the large organising committee, that is Sean McFadden and Michael Black. Welcome to the Airways of Highland, lads.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Sean, we're going to start off with you. First of all, tell us about some key information regarding this year's event in relation to dates and venues and stuff like that there.
Well, I suppose this year is a massive milestone for myself and Michael and the organisers of the 555. It's our 10th edition. And as normal, we haven't changed a wild lot in the last 10 years because everything ran as normal and worked very well. So we've kept it the same. And every year we keep getting competitors back. So this year we're starting off on Saturday morning at the Mount Errigal Hotel again at 5 a.m. First riders away. And hopefully we see everybody back at the ramp on Saturday afternoon and early hours of Sunday morning for the 555 competitors. So yeah, that's it really.
And Sean, you're talking about 5 a.m. Can people come along and watch the people take off and people can come along and watch the event from the start?
Of course, we have a lot of crowds gathering, like, and it kind of comes in waves. You know, you'll have people starting at, say, the 555s away first, and they'll have the families and friends there, and then they'll be on the road and they'll go and support them. And then you have the 333s and then the 222s. So the ramp really never quietens. It's a busy kind of time for me and Michael. People think when they leave the ramp that we haven't a lot to do, but there's a lot to be done there. You know, when the people leave the ramp, you know, looking after people and seeing where they are, make sure they're not going wrong and getting things ready. And before you know it, some of the 222 riders will be coming back, and then the 333 riders, and then before you know it, the 555 boys are landing. So it's ups and downs, you know. It's good, you know. I mean, we get a bit of a break and then we're ready to go again. You know, it's going to be a long weekend. You know, myself and Michael's awake for nearly for 30 odd hours or more.
Michael, talk to me about the 555 route and talk to me about the route itself, and obviously there'll be some challenging aspects of the route.
Yeah, the route itself, obviously anybody is familiar with Donegal and the northwest coast, is quite challenging even to drive around there, and obviously weather conditions can play a massive part in that. But the terrain and the road style of the roads in Donegal, anybody's been cycling there, is very, very tough. It's abrasive tar, it's sticky kind of tar, the roads are abrasive and it doesn't make for easy cycling. It's not free rolling in that sense. So the riders will start off from the Mount Errigal and they'll do all that big loop around the Inishowen Peninsula first. Everything from up Mamor Gap, coming down by Glengesh, coming back through Dunkaneely, back over Barnesmore Gap, back into Balbuffet, back into Letterkenny, where you've got that whole side of the county done up there. And that in itself is a massive, massive loop for anybody to complete. You're not even halfway at that stage by the time you pass the ramp again, which can be the tough thing when you're passing the start and finish again, and you look in and we give them a quick wave and they head then to the other side of the county, where we head to Remelton, Rathmullen, Fannad, Hornhead, Dunfanaghy. And as you can imagine, anybody that knows that and has driven some of them beautiful coastal roads of Knockalla, Hornhead and Dunfanaghy, down around the roads of Fannad, they're beautiful on a lovely day. They're beautiful on a bike as well, but these girls and boys who will be on it, be supported, unsupported, or part of a team or a solo venture, they'll probably not be taking in much of the sights. They'll be just trying to survive and get back to the Mount Errigal as quickly as possible. So it's definitely a challenging route.
When you were describing that there, Michael, a few words came to mind, not for the faint-hearted, to say the least. Sean, back to you. That's the 555 route. There are two other routes as well, Sean.
Yeah, well, we've introduced the 222 and the 333 this last couple of years, you know, and the 222 route, I suppose, I wouldn't say it's an easier route, but it's kind of a feeder route in for people to either do the 555 or do the 333. And also, we've seen over the years, we've had a lot of triathletes coming to do the 222 because it's good training for the likes of an Ironman or 70.3 or half Ironman, as they would say, you know. So they've took legs. You know, the 555 is a tough, tough, tough route, and it's a tough course. There's 7,000 metres of climbing it, so, you know, we had to kind of go with the other advances in the country were making smaller races, not smaller races, but shorter races and a wee bit more, you know, easier races for people. I wouldn't say easier because Donegal's not easy at all, but you know himself. So we've gone with the 2-2-2 and the 3-3-3, and it's been a really good success. You know, our numbers is up and we're very happy with the numbers that we've had this year again. You know, at the start of the year, you think, oh, people won't come back again. But as soon as you open entries, hey, you're kind of blown away by the demand of people coming to put themselves through this pain, torture. That's what it is. To me, it's torture. Like, you know, I've done a lot of racing myself over the years, and I did the M2M from Missing to Mallon, and it was tough, you know, and I thought to myself, 5-5-5, like 7,000 metres of climbing. It just goes up and goes down and up and go down. Like, there's more up and there is down, you know, so yeah. But no, we're happy with the 2-2-2 and the 3-3-3. It's very, very good, and it's going to be a very competitive race.
In terms of numbers overall so far, I know you're still another 6 days or whatever to register for the event, but in terms of the last 10 years, we'll talk about that, 10 for this, we'll talk about that in just a second. Yep. Talk to me about numbers. Are you satisfied?
Of course we're satisfied. You know, in general, Michael will tell you, Michael's part of Cycling Ireland, in general, cycling races, the numbers have gone down, and even, you know, the youth tour that used to be in Lerwick and Churchill and then it's in Derry, people are not travelling no more, so numbers have dropped over the board for everything. But for us to hold that 100 mark of people on the road, you know, we've had big numbers at the early stages, 160, and we've had 130, and last year we had only 92, and this year we're back up to 100 again, you know. So to hold that 100 mark and thereabout, and I always kept saying, I'll say it to Michael, and I've said it to a few people, you know, people say, oh, is this the last year? And I'll say, well, you know, we've talked about it being the last year, and for many of times, but when people keep turning up and coming back, it's very hard not to put the event on, you know what I mean? Like, if we were down to 10 or 12, I think about it's done, it's over. But at the moment, we're still up on 100 riders, like, so you can't take that away, you know, and people love it, and it's the amount of people that do it for charity and raising money and family and friends coming out, and it's a race, and it's a not a race at the same time, you know, because people come out to do this challenge that don't want to do bike racing, they just want to ride their bike, and maybe somebody in their mid-60s that doesn't want to race a bike in a big bunch, and they want their family to come out and support them and see their kids riding their bike and going up over Moor Gap and see them in pain. So, yeah, we're going to keep going on it, you know, that's it.
That's an example of glass half full. Michael, I'm sure an event like this, I'm sure backups such as mechanical teams and emergency crews and not forgetting your energy drinks and all that there and water, all that's vitally important.
Yeah, you don't go into such an event like this here with anything less than full preparation from your own training, your support crews, which a lot of the people will have. They'll have fallen vehicles with them, so they'll have a vehicle. We'll have people who have a background in cycling themselves. People have a little bit of mechanical knowledge if something goes wrong. That psychological aspect too, because you need to, when you're on the bike that long, you forget maybe to eat because you're sleep deprived. So you need somebody in your ear all the time just to say, look, keep going. You need to keep eating. You need to keep drinking. Turn left, turn right. And when the wee hours goes down there and it gets dark and it gets cold and things, it's a different place where people maybe have not been before. So that support network during the race is really, really important. And yeah, obviously then we want to have everybody back as safe to the finish line. And that for us is the key element of any kind of race, first and foremost. So of course we need to have people out there to be very, very aware of that. And I would put that out to people. There's going to be 100 additional people on the road over the weekend, so I would put that out to people just to keep an eye out, support them, give them a little bit of space, and just, I suppose, a little clap or a little shout along goes a long way for someone that's been out on the bike for that long. So yes, it takes a hell of a lot more people. We're only two people here, but there's a hell of a lot of other people behind the scenes that make this thing move.
Bit of encouragement, hard to beat. Yeah. Michael, in terms, you used the key word there, training. Mm-hmm. What would be, I know there's no right or wrong to this answer, but what would be key training? Like, would there be people cycling like thousands of kilometres a week over 6 or 7 days and in the months in the lead up to this event?
Yeah. I think a lot of people that take on this come from various kind of backgrounds, but the vast majority would have some endurance kind of training done, be that through running or cycling or triathlon or some sort of endurance sports. You may be surprised that you don't need to be doing hundreds and thousands of kilometres to complete an event like this. Anyone can complete that, and as I said, that's why the 2-2-2 is introduced, to give you a bit of a taste of what it might be like and move up in that. You'll have obviously very experienced people who have been in the cycling world for a long, long time and have got hundreds of thousands of miles behind them over 20, 30 years. But that doesn't make it any easier. So it just depends on the person. Some people have that ability to mentally switch off and just keep turning the pedals. And they may not have that many miles done to their counterpart. And they could get on way, way better. So from this, I feel in these endurance events, it's not so much about the miles you've done, which is important, but it's how you can psychologically put yourself in that position to say, I just need to keep the pedals turning. I just need to keep them turning. I just need to have another revolution. I'll get to the next town. Or sometimes when you might have all the miles done, if your head goes in the middle of the night and think, oh, I've got 200K to go, you're gone. You know, and no matter amount of training that you can do, your body just shuts down and says, right, home time. So I've seen people who have got very, very little training done, and as they do that initial loop and they come past us after 10, 12 hours and they're smiling and you're going, how is this person doing this? So, and there could be someone right beside them, way fitter in a sense, physically fitter.
Struggling.
But these people can just tap it out and tap it out. So,
yeah. Sean, let's go back to the start. We are in the 10th year for this fantastic event. Talk to me, how did the idea come about and how did the first year go for you?
Yeah, well, as I say, 10 years is hard to believe, like 10 years without missing one year between COVID and everything else and me being away and coming back. And also, we're here. How did it come about? It come about from us doing a race called Race Around Ireland as a team. And we went back the following year to enter the team and it was sold out. And we thought there must be something that we could do to replicate Race Around Ireland, that if people wanted to train for that, we would organise our own race as such. So we came up with the idea of the 555. So shouting out to Sean Stewart was the first guy on board with myself and Sean. We did a lot of races and, you know, did that, and we took it on board. And Sean, we drove the course, and Sean texted me, said, I'll have a course straight away. We have 555 kilometres, and that's where it come from, you know. And it's moved on from there, and Sean has moved on and started up his own race and different things. And then we had Eugene McGittigan for a couple of years there. And Eugene was struggling with work commitment and up and down to Ballyshannon. So, and then Michael, I suppose me and Michael's been friends probably over 20 years now or more. So, you know, it was always an easy target for to go and get Michael to come on board and help out, because he's a great man. Like, and you know, you need boys like this that understand cycling in general and, you know, that kind of way. So that's where it's come in the last 10 years. But the amount of people that's gone through the 555 and the amount of money that it's raised for charities, I'm blown away with it, to be fair, you know. And I keep asking people, why do you keep coming back? And they just say, Donegal is so beautiful out there on a good day. It's, you could not come back to Donegal, you know. And we've had some great riders. We've had some professional riders. We've had global network here. GCN has been here. So, listen, we're raring to go, and we can't wait till next Saturday.
Michael, in terms of the competitors, are they all from Donegal?
Not really. You'd have a vast majority of them, yeah, from around the county or the northwest and region. But, you know, we've had people travelling from far as America, UK, other parts of the country.
New Zealand this year,
you know. So, yeah, Donegal is a great tourist destination as well. So the word travels fast here. The Wild Atlantic Way has helped us massively in that. The work that Bord Fáilte do and Tourism Ireland to put the Donegal on the map. And as I say, it's different up here. It is different up here, and you come and experience it. No matter if you're doing a sporting event like ours, or coming to visit, or just seeing the scenery, or holidaying, it is different. We're lucky that we can express that through a sporting event, and we're very lucky to be able to do that. But competitors come from everywhere, and as Sean says, we're delighted that people keep coming back here, and we possibly shouldn't be surprised every year that there is people travelling from everywhere. But they do keep coming back, and as I say, yeah, once you go out there yourself and you see it especially on a good day, and we haven't had always good days, but on a fantastic day, you'd be surprised going through a small town like Brooklyn or something at 2 a.m. and there's people standing outside.
Brilliant. waving,
you know, and you want a cup of tea, you're right. And
we don't go to sleep much down that part of the county.
That's right. No. God's country.
God's country for a reason. Sean, I'm sure an event like this costs money. In terms of sponsorship, is there anybody you'd like to thank?
Yeah, well, listen, this event, it takes a lot of, as Michael says, it's just not me and Michael. Like, we have a new sponsor on board this year, and the sponsor is that Air Eagle Group up in Monaghan up there. We've been very lucky. For the last couple of years, they've come with 3-4 teams every year. And it's a contact that, I suppose, I reach out to is a very good friend of ours, Lorraine Mullerkey from Dubai. It's her sister that works in the company. We contacted them a year to see if they'd come out, and they've been very generous. But like, we've had so many sponsors over the years, like the Mount Errigal, LK Bikes, Fruities. I'm going to miss out somebody here. But
I thought you're gone now.
We've had so many sponsors, and you know yourself, to put this event on, you need sponsors, you need help, you need the local community, you need the local businesses, you need all that to help, you know. And I couldn't thank them enough, you know what I mean, because as I said, 10 years, it's massive, and it wouldn't be without them. It wouldn't be without yourselves, Highland Radio for one, and Michael, and everybody else that's helped out. I can't thank them enough. And listen, we're 10 years, will it be another one? Will we have 20 years? Will we have 15 years? If people keep coming back, the 555 will be here, you know. It's a legacy, as I see it at the minute, you know. So, yeah, thank you to everybody that's helped out, yourselves and all the sponsors. It's been amazing.
Michael, if there was one key goal for this year's event, what would that key goal be?
I think we're always looking to try and obviously promote the race first and try and make it as accessible to everybody. You'll have the ordinary people who come back who are quite successful in the event, enjoy the event from a competitive point of view. But for us, that participation sort of element of it is the key for us, you know, to be able to say, look, this is achievable for a lot of people. There's so many different options, be it a small event or small distance, sorry, a team event, 2-person, 4-person. And we really want to highlight, you know, the participation through females as well, through women in sport. It can be very heavily dominant in terms of the male participants. So if people want to come out, as Sean says, from the Mount Errigal on that time, we'll be there for well over 24 hours. If you want to come and see it, drive around the route, get a glimpse of what it's like, speak to us before, or speak to some of the competitors, especially the females that have done it. It is a fantastic event. It's very much a family event too. We don't leave anybody out in course. We'll get you to the finish line one way or another. So yeah, that female participation, or participation in general, it's not a competitive race. People, we don't do that first and foremost. People make it competitive for themselves, and that's great. But the vast majority of these races are about participation, and as I say, the female participation element and the family element is really important. And if we continue to put on this, that would be one of the key goals for years to come as well for us.
Finally, to the race director, Sean McFadden. If there was a listener tuning into Highland Radio today and they're sitting on the fence, they're 50-50 and they never did it before, but they would like to do it, what would your message be to those?
I would just back up what Michael says there. You know, I mean, there is three events there now, you know, and there's the 2-2-2 and the 3-3-3, and the 5-5-5 is a monster. And we've had people that's took on the 5-5-5 that hasn't done a lot of cycling, and, you know, they've finished it. Bridget Freel, I'm going to reach out to there. Bridget didn't do a lot of cycling over the years, and you know Bridget yourself, and she come and she finished it, and it was a massive achievement for Bridget to finish that race. So it was amazing. So it is very doable, as I said, you know. Come along, have a chat to me and Michael for maybe 2026 and see how you get on. But listen, we'll look forward to 2026. We'll get 2025 out of the way, and then we'll talk about it again, I suppose. Yeah.
And just before I let you go, is online entry still open? Or
unfortunately not. They're not open. It closed a couple of days ago for myself and Michael and the tracking system to try and get everything in place. People are looking for their start times, what time they're leaving it. And as Michael said, Michael's nearly getting abuse on the phone at this stage. When are we leaving? What time are we leaving it? So unfortunately they're closed. But it'll be 2026 now before we could take anybody else. Just gives us and organise us a bit of time to...
Confirmed here in Highland Radio Sunday Sport, there will be an 11th edition. So thank you so much to Sean McFadden and Michael Black for joining us in Highland Radio Sunday Sport.
Thank you.